Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. I'm so happy that you decided to join me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest has recently ended a 34-year career as a serial direct marketer and has now made the transition from intrapreneur to entrepreneur. My guest made this transition while taking Boardroom Inc., which he worked within and later became a partner of, from around $3 million in revenue in 1981 to a high of $150 million. And they created marketing messages that have reached well over a billion people. This is all done offline. This is awesome. As of last January, my guest made the official and final step into entrepreneurship with the launch of his own consulting company. To kick off, he held a conference called The Titans of Direct Response and featured today's greatest direct marketing entrepreneurs. Now, let's hack Brian Kurtz. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And I have an extra special guest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here, John. Really honored.
It is my pleasure. Brian, let's jump straight into it. Brian, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
You know, it's interesting. I think I need to just back up a step because I don't necessarily consider myself an entrepreneur in the traditional sense, in that I've not ever bootstrapped a business from the starting point. So I think your audience needs to know that right off the bat. However, I think they're going to be able to learn a lot from me because I'm probably one of the most successful intrapreneurs that I know of. And this is part of my mission going forward. The idea that you can work inside an organization, not having started the business from scratch, and yet think like an entrepreneur, work like an entrepreneur, and then use the skills that I think that I've developed over my 34 years that are as valuable as any entrepreneur I know. I spend most of my time in mastermind groups and in places where I always say, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. And it's so critical to do that, whether you own your own business or you don't, because you're not going to be able to move your career forward if you're not surrounding yourself with people that you can always learn from. And of course, they always learn from you too, so that you have to keep learning, you have to keep moving. So I'm going to answer your question, but I wanted to make sure that we, and hopefully we'll get into this distinction between intrapreneur and entrepreneur, and I will give your listeners access to a piece I wrote exactly on this subject at the end of the interview. But I think the biggest thing that I've done that's contributed to my success is what I call the concept of 100-0. And the concept of 100-0, which I've also written about, is the idea that you just don't go into relationships with expectations. And when I say that, it's like, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't expect greatness from people around you. You shouldn't expect people to share with you when you're sharing with them. But what I mean by that is that you give 100% of yourself. And if you don't get anything in return, and it's not one of these situations where it's a quid pro quo or that I give you, so you give me, or you have to match somebody. I think that it sounds kind of simple, but that alone has contributed probably more to my success than just about any other philosophy that I follow. And I follow a lot of different things, but that's the one. And I think that when you go into relationships not expecting anything in return, and you're giving 100% of yourself all the time, and you're surrounding yourself with the best and the brightest, people that you can always learn from, it's an exponential way to grow while you're doing all the other things, like reading the best material that you can, always, always on a learning curve, so that you don't end up with 30 years experience, you know, 1 year experience for 30 years as opposed to 30 years experience. And it's a big, big difference. So, you know, we can get in, if you want to dig a little deeper there, I can, you know, give you examples. But my experience is that if you're going to be what I call a taker or a matcher, and these are terms that I read in a book called Give and Take by Adam Grant. If everything is about what you can take from a relationship, or everything is about what you can match in a relationship, you give me, so I give you, you're not going to get the most out of your relationships. You're not going to get the most out of your entrepreneurial experience. And, you know, I guess the best way to put it so that it's kind of tangible is that the concept of I meet you, like I just met you, John, and I followed you and you're doing an amazing job. But I'm not looking at our relationship starting today as I'm going to meet you halfway on something. I never use the term I'm going to meet you halfway. I don't use it in anything I've ever done in my career. And that includes multi-million dollar contracts with people, whether it's copywriters, whether it's vendors, whether it's printers, whatever. Meeting you halfway and meeting me halfway, not a concept that's part of my makeup. And so I'm always starting with 100-0. I think if I had to pick one thing, that's it. Although I've got, you know, dozens more that I think have contributed, but that's the one that popped into my head. I didn't prepare too much for this interview. You told me that I should really, you know, be as free as I can with you. And so that's what I'll stick with at this point. If you want to dig deeper, we can.
Well, I like the 100-0. It's great. And I think you're correct. Well, you are, but I'm just thinking, as it gets easier for me, maybe you talk about masterminds, you talk about surround yourself with the best, and already at the stage I'm at, which is just lowly on the ladder, I still do have access to people I didn't have access to 3 years ago. And I know that when you hear somebody say that and you don't have access to really anyone, you're kind of isolated, even if your family, your friends, they don't even think in an entrepreneurial sense or a way of even progressing as a person and making yourself better. And you're just kind of stuck in that world. How do you surround yourself with better people? Where do you find these people? How do you do this without already being part of the best, like yes, you are now?
Right. So great, great question. So here's the deal. And it takes time. You know, this is not something that you do immediately on day one. However, your mindset must be such that I hate the word networking. Just hate the word networking. I think networking implies, you know, I'm gonna just call a bunch of people. I'm gonna meet you. I want to pick your brain. I hate the term pick your brain too. It's like people who want to pick my brain usually want to pick my pocket, because you know it's not like so inaccessible. You found me pretty easily, and I said yes to this interview pretty quickly.
You did.
However, I got to be more careful going forward as an independent entrepreneur with a lot of people who want a piece of me now, whereas I always wanted a piece of everybody else. And I still want a piece of everybody else. So how do you get there? It's all about the concept of contribution. And if you go into any relationship, I don't care how, whether it's a family member, whether it's a new friend, whether it's someone you meet on the street, if you start the relationship with, how can I contribute to this person? How can I make their life better? How can I make their life more meaningful? That's how you start developing a group of people around you. So let me give you a specific examples why I'm connected to probably some of the best direct marketers in the world, and I didn't get there by magic. In almost every single case, there was an opportunity for me, based on my skill set, to contribute to them. One of the greatest consultants I ever worked with was a guy by the name of Dick Benson, who's probably the top he's passed away since, and we became very, very close. But he wrote the book on direct mail, basically. He was like the number one expert on direct mail. And, you know, we had an opportunity to work with him as a consultant. And, you know, that would have been a straight business relationship. I wouldn't have been able to get that intimate with him. And then one day I figured out that he had this other business that he was launching his own newsletters, and he didn't understand the list business that well. Personally, he knew everything about direct mail, but he relied on a particular list broker to rent all his lists for him. And I knew that I was probably the number one expert on mailing lists in the country, or at least one of the top ones. And I'm not bragging when I say that, it's just a fact. And so I went to Dick and I said, you know, we have a consulting call coming up or a consulting visit coming up. And I'd like to make sure that we spend a couple of hours on your business, Dick, even though I'm paying you, on me helping you with the kinds of questions you should be asking your list broker when you're renting lists. And so here I was giving advice to probably one of the top gurus in direct marketing in a specific area that he was not an expert in. And it was from Dick Benson that I also learned this incredible concept of, you know, that I said to him once, you know, Dick, and I've blogged about this numerous times, Dick, how did you get so smart about direct mail? Like, you seem to know everything, although he didn't know as much about lists as I did, but he did know everything about testing, about segmenting audiences and creative as it pertains to audiences. And I said, how'd you get so smart? And he took his thumb and his index finger and put it an inch apart. And he said, I know everything about this much. And so if you go through life hanging out with people, you find out what they know everything about this much about that inch or 2 inches or 4 inches of everything. And what else would they need to know about for them to move their thumb and index finger a little further apart? And if you could be that person that could contribute that, that's how you're going to create a network. Again, I hate the word networking, but I have to use it here. Create a connection to people that is so much deeper than just sort of glad-handing people and, you know, calling them up and saying, hey, I'm Brian Kurtz. I'm a smart guy. I want to talk to you. You know, as opposed to, hey, I'm Brian Kurtz, John. How can I contribute to you? Which is exactly how our relationship started. Mm-hmm. This relationship has not started, John, with me figuring out how I can network with John Naster. This relationship started with how I can contribute to your podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know if I'll ever make a sale because of this. I don't know if I'll ever get a new subscriber to my blog because of this. I don't know if it's going to lead to anything. But the fact that I contributed to you and you're a rising star and I don't know, 100-0, total contribution. You put those two things together, you will start building a group of people that will want to be with you. And once they want to be with you, they're going to want to share with you. And if you're sharing with them with no holds barred, you're there. I'm going to tell another quick story. And this one is not about a marketer. It's about a baseball pitcher. And I don't know how many of your audience is in Canada, but baseball's pretty popular in Canada too.
It is, yeah.
And there's a pitcher who pitched for the New York Yankees by the name of Mariano Rivera. And those of you, anybody on this call who knows baseball will know Mariano Rivera, but I'll quickly tell you who he is. He may be the best pitcher who ever lived. He's certainly the best closer who ever lived. And by closer, meaning in baseball, there's a role that if you can get the last three outs of a game and finish the game off when your team is ahead by three runs or less, you get what they call a save. And Mariano Rivera has more saves than anybody in the history of baseball. So basically, he spent his whole career getting the three most difficult outs, and he did it better than anybody who's ever lived. And the amazing thing about Mariano Rivera, who retired last year, is that he only had one pitch. Most pitchers have three or four pitches. They have a fastball, they have a curveball, they have a changeup, they have all these different pitches to try to get the batter out. Mariano Rivera had one pitch, and his pitch was, it was called a cut fastball, and it was virtually unhittable when he was on. I mean, basically, Mariano Rivera took the mound, his percentage of how many times he got saves was higher than anybody else. He did better in high-pressure situations, in World Series and playoffs than anybody else, and he did it with one pitch. But the lesson for your listeners I want to share is that Mariano Rivera taught that pitch. He would teach that pitch to anybody who would come to him. So basically, here he is with this kind of secret weapon. And if you went to Mariano Rivera and say, and you're a pitcher or a young coach, Mariano, I want to learn the pitch from you so I could teach it to my young pitchers. Or I'm a pitcher, I want to learn how to do it. And without hesitation or question, Mariano Rivera would teach you the pitch. And in fact, in his last year in the major leagues, he visited every clubhouse in the major leagues one last time to say, last chance, guys, I'll teach you the pitch. And the lesson here is that, I mean, I'm sure he taught it because he knew no one could do it better than him. But besides that, he knew that all boats rose in the world if more people knew how to do this pitch, that the game of baseball would be that much better because you'd have all these other rising superstars. And he would much rather get credit, not because he was an egomaniac, but get credit for contributing at that level than just winning more games or closing more games. And so the concept of competition becomes coexistence is all wrapped up in this. And I've lived that my entire career. Now, I was able to do that because I didn't have these big trade secrets that I was running around with, because everything I did in direct mail and direct marketing was kind of out there in the millions of pieces or promotions so people could see what I'm doing. But teaching people how I did it was so important to getting that incredible connection to people, to getting that incredible feeling that, wow, I can't believe Brian shared all that with me. And whether they came back and said, I better share something with him or not, irrelevant. But I can tell you after 34 years that the best and the brightest in direct marketing have shared with me at that level. And I never even had to ask them.
I love it. Is it easier to be able to share your knowledge, to be able to help other people, and to always be able to say, give and give and try and teach that pitch that you know to others once your career has already sort of taken off? You know what I mean? Like when I was just getting going, I was so worried about making the money to pay for my mortgage next month. And you know what I mean? You get so take, I need to take because of this. And I don't think that that's right, but I'm at a point now where I don't have to be like that. And I can now, I've set myself up that I have the freedom to now give back to people. Last week actually was the first time just from people emailing me. And now I'm trying to like put them together in a way that, because everyone's looking for connection and I feel like I'm being their connector because they're emailing me and they're by themselves, they feel like. And I'm like, well, you're not by yourself. I have 50 people this week that emailed me that all think that they're by themselves, all in different aspects of where they're starting out. So now I'm just starting to like put them together and be like, actually, you two should meet. You two should just start your own mastermind because you guys are perfect. And it works, right? But I wouldn't have had this freedom, I don't think, 3 years ago. But maybe that's wrong. Maybe I did have that and I could have been further ahead if I would have started. But you know what I mean? How when you feel like you're just getting going and you kind of feel like you need to take because I have bills to pay. I have a light bill that has to get paid or else I don't have internet anymore to work from. Or does that make sense?
Yeah, you know what? But you got to turn it on its ear. So your intuition is correct. And this is going to be easy to say, but tougher to do. Okay. Right. Yeah. So early in my career, you know, I wasn't starting from scratch, but I wasn't making a lot of money at all. And I think the irony is that the contribute to connect, and again, I hate the word also just being a connector. Mm-hmm. I think that's really not the way to look at it. It's your contributor. You're a contributor to connect. So you need to be part of the process of contribution before you can connect. So it's a real subtle distinction, but an important one. Because the idea of just connecting means I'm just going to put people together, connect the dots and let it go where it goes, as opposed to being part of the process, being part of the contribution. So the irony that I want to just make sure that everybody gets here is that when you actually have less money and less resources is the time to contribute even more, even at the expense of maybe extending out your electric bill an extra month. Because what's happening to me now is that because I'm at a point where it's not about survival in terms of money, I actually now am so inundated with requests and time that I have to start charging for everything. Mm-hmm. And because otherwise, because I always say overload doesn't serve anybody. Like if I keep saying yes to people, I'm going to be very ineffective in what I do with them. So, you know, I'm working with young entrepreneurs in coaching situations, and it's not because I want to make a ton of money from them, but they have to pay me $1,000 an hour to do it. And they need to understand that them paying, I'm going to deliver. I got to tell you, most of them, I give them more than an hour anyway. Plus I end up sending them all these wonderful books that I own, you know, afterwards. So what they're getting for $1,000 is probably worth even more. That doesn't mean I'm being an egomaniac because I have to charge them. But the irony, of course, is that I don't really need the money for that call anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to do it for free because I can't afford to give up the time because I'm too busy contributing
at a high level.
So I will tell you that the advantage I did have, and this is in that post I told you about being an entrepreneur, is that I still had a full-time job. So I wasn't bootstrapping a company while I was doing the contributory stuff, but I was spending a lot of my own time in the evenings, on the weekends, doing all this contribution, you know, making the equivalent of $10,000 a year. And I live in the New York metropolitan area. That is not a lot of money, even in the 1980s, to live on. I wasn't in poverty. I was able to pay my bills. You know, but I was living in a very small apartment with a lot of cockroaches. And so I'm not saying that I have this hero's journey, that I was living in a box outside the bus station homeless, but I have my equivalent of it. And so I was making very little money. I had a full-time job and I still needed to do all of this contribution on my own time and my own dime. So I know what it's like to give of that when you really can't afford to. So it is. So I think your intuition is correct that, you know, easy to say, tougher to do. I'm not telling people that they should go starving to give things away. But I just heard a story about a guy who was an amazing. He was a young copywriter. And he told me that early in his career, he decided, I think he was living in Ireland. And he said, you know, he knew he had to learn from somebody. He needed a mentor. And you can't just like run into somebody and say, will you please be my mentor? Just doesn't work that way. So he went on his own, found somebody, and it happened to be Gary Halbert, who's one of the greatest copywriters who ever lived, who's no longer with us. And this guy actually came to the United States. He asked Gary Halbert, can I live in an apartment near you? And he ended up, I think, living in an apartment upstairs from him. He had to do some introductory stuff before. I don't know all the little details, but the result was that he ended up living above Gary Halbert for a year with that on his own time, his own dime, you know, and so basically to look over Gary's shoulder. And Gary was a tough mentor. I mean, he was not easy from what I didn't know him that well, but I know that he was very, very difficult on the people that he coached. And yet this guy went, in a period where he couldn't afford to do it, he afforded to do it. How'd that happen? And now the guy is incredibly successful copywriter. But during that period, I bet he was I'm sure he questioned every day whether he, you know, was making the right decision to kind of forsake all of this to do this. And I think it's just really, really important to understand these kinds of stories so that, you know, and I think you asked a great question. I am established now. You know, I can get people to pay me. Again, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that they will pay me a lot of money for my time. But that's not what jazzes me. What jazzes me is that I can help them at that level and they can get their money's worth from me for that time. That's what really excites me about it. And I didn't get there because I was charging people when I was making $10,000 a year. So, you know, my journey is a little bit different, again, since I didn't bootstrap a business. But if your folks read my blog post from entrepreneur to entrepreneur, I think they'll really understand this whole concept that even if you're in an organization, even if you're, you know, kind of what they say, I don't know if they say it in Canada, but, you know, working for the man, mm-hmm. there are so many things you can do while you're working for the man to be doing the things that we're talking about in terms of building that incredible connective network that is built through the deepest contributions you can make to people.
And you're not talking like side hustle sort of thing. You're talking directly within the organization.
Exactly. In fact, in my piece, I think I have some specific things, and sometimes it's not so easy in a big company, but, you know, little things like, you know, make sure the guy, if possible, or woman who signs your paycheck knows who you are, knows the contribution you're making to the organization. Don't do a like, look at me, you know, I gave you this idea. You know, you may not get the recognition all the time for all of your innovative ideas within an organization, but as best as you can do it, make sure that the person signing your paycheck knows who you are and what you're doing, and that you then can figure out what could you contribute to that person. Because I assume that the person signing the paycheck is someone who's achieved at a pretty high level. So therefore, they count as far as somebody to contribute to, and not just because you want a raise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have all of this in the blog post because I figured out, like, how did I get to where I got to not being the person who started the company? And it was a lot of this. I mean, I got lucky. You know, I had a mentor, the guy who started the company, saw how valuable I was over time and made me a partner, made me an owner. But it took time. It took me 10 years.
And
I mean, 10 years of being an employee to becoming a partner in the business.
Nice. And that was Boardroom Inc., right?
Correct.
And that was 34 years and you retired?
I just left there after 34 years, 2 weeks ago.
Wow. So that's impressive. And now you are going fully solo entrepreneur. So
yes.
Let me finish with this, if I can. Success and the future for you. If your career now, after 34 years of working at Boardroom Inc., now you're going solo. If something horrible was to happen and your career happened to end today, would you be happy with the legacy you've got to leave up till this point? Or is there now things you want to do by yourself?
I would be content with what I've left. I've left a pretty nice legacy of stuff, of information, of teaching, of mentoring. It's funny, a lot of people, when they heard I was leaving, they said, oh, so you're retiring. And, you know, I'm 56 years old and I feel like I'm just getting started, basically. So I have a definition of retirement that's from one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan, who runs Strategic Coach, who's probably the best coach for entrepreneurs in the world. And his definition of retirement is that you retire from the things you don't want to do, and you retire from the things you don't like to do, and you retire from the people that you don't want to hang around with anymore. So in that definition, I'm retiring. However, what the thing that I really want to do as the next level is I want to use what I've accumulated over the last 34 years and be the bridge between the eternal truths of direct marketing, of what I've learned, and bringing it forward into the present and the future to all the new marketers who don't even know these things exist. Before this call, you told me, you know, you read Claude Hopkins, My Life in Advertising and Scientific Advertising, and you read a lot of Dan Kennedy books. And I told you about Gene Schwartz's Breakthrough Advertising, which I actually own the rights to. You know, all of that stuff, if I'm a 28-year-old entrepreneur running an internet business, and I don't know those eternal truths of direct response marketing and copywriting, I'm at a deficit. Those people are at a deficit, in my opinion. And so I can be the guy of teaching that, of creating courses for that. And so the thing I want to achieve beyond what I've already achieved is to kind of take what I've accumulated even more so and bring it into the, you know, the marketing world on steroids. That's on steroids already. Because the current marketing world is fascinating to me. I think there's no better time ever in the history of mankind to be in marketing. And so what can I do as the, you know, the dinosaur? I always call myself I call myself T-Rex roaming the wild, wild west. I was going to call my company Dinosaurs and Cowboys, but I won't do it. But I really believe that's really my calling at this point. So I think that, you know, creating high-end mastermind groups of people who want to do multi-channel marketing and not just on the internet, and then being able to take their messages and reach millions more people because they're not just doing email and websites, but they're doing direct mail and inserts and space advertising and radio advertising and TV, all those things that I did in my career, that to me will take what I've done to the next level. So I am just getting started, I guess. If I got hit by a car tomorrow and it was over, I think I've made a pretty good contribution to direct marketing. And based on the outpouring of people who have known me for 30 years when they heard I was leaving Boardroom and the pleas of, you know, don't retire, please, Brian, don't retire, please share, you know, please. It was like, wow, this is like reinforcement that, you know, I better just get started. I'll leave you with one other quick thing that Dan Sullivan talks about. He talks about what he calls the gap for entrepreneurs. And what the gap is for entrepreneurs is that most entrepreneurs, because they're so motivated to just do things at such a high level, that they're always looking to what he calls the horizon. Like there's always, like you're never going to, you know, and just so you know, if you ever try to walk to the horizon, just for your information, you're never going to get there. Yeah. So just stop walking now. Okay, John. So you're never going to get. Yeah. So that's good. That's good news for all of your listeners. If they're walking toward the horizon, stop. And instead of keep walking to the horizon, turn around and look back and set goals. And when you achieve a goal, turn around, look back and say where I was, where I got to today, and that I achieved this goal, and celebrate that victory. And that is how you stay out of the gap. The gap is between, is what's between today's goal and the horizon. And if you live in there all the time without having one goal achieved and then turning back around and looking back and where you were and where you've been and where you are now, you'll stay out of the gap. If you constantly are walking towards the horizon without turning around and recognizing each of those goals as you achieve them, you will live, you will not ever think that you can ever fulfill. And you asked the question beautifully that you'll never feel like if you got hit by a car today that you achieved anything. And I'm not living that way.
That's awesome.
You know, if I get hit by a car today, I achieved a lot of good stuff. You know, I got great kids. I got a great family. I got tons of people who would consider me their mentor. I've got tons of people who I'm on the shoulders of who are very old now, who are not in position to do mentoring anymore. And yet I recognize them every chance I get. And some of them are dead and I recognize them every chance I get because their families appreciate it. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So, you know, I don't know if I think I answered that question that, you know, I'm not. And so I just want to make sure that the entrepreneurs on this list and the people who are going to be entrepreneurs on this list don't live in the gap. And I credit Dan Sullivan for that. It was one of those kick in the head epiphanies that I had. And really celebrate every goal, everything that you achieve. Set your goals, hit them, turn around, celebrate them, then go on to the next goal. Don't go on to the horizon.
Beautifully said. And that's something I've discussed this with people on the show and I'm struggling to kind of get through it, I guess, because I feel like I'm still fairly young in my entrepreneurial journey and I feel like I haven't achieved anything worth looking back at yet. And so I'm constantly, but it's weird because if I looked at myself,
that's a mistake, John. That's
I know. Because if I looked at myself 3 years ago and the goals I set that I've blown out of the water and now I couldn't even imagine being back there, but I'm still like, every goal I hit just kind of breeds five more goals. And this, you know what I mean? It's a constantly like, I know, but at this time in 6 months, I'll be here and then I'll be here. And it's, I know that.
You know what? I won't mention names unless, because it may not be right, but you told me about one before the call. It was a specific interview that you did with somebody that's going to lead to you getting into a place where you've always wanted to get in terms of getting a bigger audience, right? And if you didn't spend any time before this interview with me turning around and looking at that as a huge goal achievement, then you're in the gap. And so I want to really encourage you to get out of the gap and everybody else on this call as well. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. Yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, Brian, we've talked a lot about your blog, your writing, and what it is you're going to head into in the very near future. So can you specifically tell the audience where they can find out more about you?
Yeah, so I've got a website. It's modest, but I've got a lot of free content. It's briankurtz.me, briankurtz.me. couldn't get BrianKurtz.com. That's some faith healer or something. So BrianKurtz.com is not me. BrianKurtz.me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do for your audience, I'm going to set up a special squeeze page that they can go right to this blog that I call From Intrapreneur to Entrepreneur, which I think is just so perfect for everybody here to read. It's not that long, maybe 1,000 words. And I really want your folks to read it. So I'm going to set up a special squeeze that's going to be BrianKurtz.me/hack, H-A-C-K, since your show is called Hack the Entrepreneur. So BrianKurtz.me/hack will be, I mean, there's another squeeze at BrianKurtz.me, which is another interview I did about building your list. And they can go to that as well, and they can get that for free. But Brian, and everything's for free. BrianKurtz.me/hack will be a special page I'll set up for your guys. And I really want them to read that interview. And if you want to opt into my list, that would be great. I try to blog every week about my 34 years of mentoring and teaching and doing all this great stuff. And I love, you know, I'd love your folks to be on my list. I have a feeling that your tribe is my tribe. So that's why I decided to say yes to this interview. And I hope I can share with your folks like you're sharing with your folks. And the two of us together will continue to teach and mentor. So BrianKurtz.me/hack, H-A-C-K, and I will put up something very, very special for your folks.
I love it. And I will directly link to that from the show notes. So go to hacktheentrepreneur.com and you will be sent right to this page and get all the good stuff from Brian. Brian, thank you so much for everything you've done up till now, everything you're going to do leading into the future, and for spending the past half hour with me.
Oh, my pleasure, John, and good questions, really good questions.
Brian, thank you. Thank you so much for stopping by. I truly appreciate you taking the time to do that. That was a lot of fun. Before we get any further, I need to acknowledge you, my listener, because you are awesome. And I cannot believe the feedback I get and just that there's so many of you out there. And I have to say one thing. I really, really want to meet you in May. Hack the Entrepreneur has been brought to you by Authority Rainmaker. This is a carefully designed live educational experience that presents a complete and effective online marketing strategy to help you accelerate your business. You don't want to miss the opportunity to see Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, and punk legend Henry Rollins with a whole bunch of other awesome speakers. Not to mention, I'm going to be there and I want to meet you in May in Denver. So get all the details right now at, I love this, rainmaker.fm/meetjohn. That's rainmaker.fm/MEETJON. And I would love to see you in Denver, Colorado this May. So Brian said a lot of really, really smart things. But he said one thing that was not only really, really, really smart, but it's completely changed my mindset for, I think, forever. And it has truly, truly affected my life and my business. And now we need to get to that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
And that is how you stay out of the gap. The gap is between, is what's between today's goal and the horizon. And if you live in there all the time without having one goal achieved and then turning back around and looking back and where you were and where you've been and where you are now, you'll stay out of the gap.
And that's the hack. Wow, Brian, that the entrepreneurial gap, this has been kind of epic in scope and in a mindset shift for me. And I've actually instantly after this interview, I added the entrepreneurial gap as a concept and a question to a lot of my interviews because, and the response has been actually amazing. I've had people tell me they get like goosebumps and they don't understand. They think that I'm like reading their mind because, and that's exactly how I felt when Brian said this today. It is crazy that we live as entrepreneurs always searching for that horizon. We set goals 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years in advance. And I thought that we were always even trying to, we'd hit those goals and then we'd instantly set 5 or 10 loftier ones ahead of us. But it's actually been brought to my attention that I think we actually don't even always hit those goals and we're already setting new ones. And we're not, in the basic sense, living today, living in the day, living in the present, but also just stopping and turning around. I don't care how early you are in your journey of this whole entrepreneurial game and figuring this stuff out online, but just think back to even what you knew 3 months ago, what you knew 6 months ago about all of this stuff, and think about the amount of knowledge you now have. That's amazing. Congratulate yourself for that, because that seriously is worth congratulating. That's worth, it's an amazing accomplishment to be working towards something, to better yourself, to better your family, to better everything about your life is awesome. And we need to spend more time, even when we think that, oh, it will be better when I start, when I do this, when my podcast ends up doing this, when my business hits $1 million, it'll be awesome. But just seriously stop and look, turn around for one moment and just look at what, where you've come from 6 months or a year ago. And it's usually amazing. And it really, really is. And I appreciate so much, Brian, that you brought this concept to my head. And you mentioned it, the gap, and it's for entrepreneurs. And then I've since been referring to it as the entrepreneurial gap. And I'm honestly thinking about like writing a book about this, because it's, I think it's something that we really, as entrepreneurs and as people who kind of dream and want to do big, cool things, where we can get caught up in always walking towards that horizon and never just appreciating where we are. And I cannot thank you enough, Brian, for that, because that's amazing. Thank you. All right. For once, I can tell you, hacktheentrepreneur.com. The new one is live and it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's on the Rainmaker platform and it is, you got to see it. It's so good. Get on the site, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You're going to see my face right at the top and a place to put your email. Drop your name in that and you will get my best hacks sent to your inbox every Sunday afternoon. I am writing them and I am sending them out to you. And you can also respond and reply to any of those emails, and you have direct access to me. I would love to have a conversation with you. But either way, check out the site. And you can also check out rainmaker.fm. That is the new podcast network that Hack the Entrepreneur is now officially a part of. There's 9 other amazing shows. All I do is listen to Rainmaker shows now, and it's awesome. So please go check that out. And if you have a chance, check out hacktheentrepreneur.com. I would truly appreciate hearing from you and seeing you stop by and getting your feedback on it. This has been a lot of fun. I know you have a lot of choices for podcasts out there, and I do appreciate you taking the time with me today. But until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.